It's 3:35 at News Talk 1400 WRJN. Like I said before, we talked to this lady about this time last year when she appeared at the Racine Theater Guild as part of their Comedy Tonight series. She joins us this time around, author, book Finding the Funny Fast. She's also a keynote speaker, stand-up comic, and many people know her as the Work Lady. In fact, you'll find her at theworklady.com. And she joins us once again, one of our favorites here on the afternoon news. It's Jan McInnes. Jan, thanks for joining us once again. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. You forgot all-around wonderful person.
Okay, I'm going to have to put that down. It's like all-around wonderful. Okay, got
wonderful,
it.
Wonderful, yeah.
For next time. We'll take care of it next time. How about that? So, how have
you got
things,
everything else in there.
How have things been for you, Jan?
Things are good. They are cooking. Having a great year. The year is off to a fantastic start, and doing some more Baby Boomer comedy shows and lots of other corporate stuff. So
wonderful.
I cannot complain.
Yeah. Now, you brought up a very good point, because the nice part is I'm blessed with being able to get newsletters from Jan, and you have a topic called listening to your inner voice, and it has an awful lot to do with your life as a comic. And basically it tells about the fact that, you know, when it comes to particular situations in your work life, sometimes listening to what your heart says has an awful lot to do with your happiness and B, your success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the article I was talking about a story I have about how I launched my career because of 39 bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, I listened to my inner voice. I was emceeing at the time, making about 25 bucks a gig, and I just started out, you know, full time. And I had a club owner who was known for, I don't want to use the cheating, cutting the pay, I guess is what you call it, not paying you what you should, that sort of thing. And I still worked for this person because they had a lot of work and I needed the work. And I did this one gig where I was supposed to work Thursday through Sunday until Sunday, and we didn't have a show Thursday because there was no marketing done, apparently, and they cut 39 bucks out of my money.
Really?
And, you know, when you're emceeing at $25 a show, Ted, that's like $1 million.
You bet.
I mean, I need that money, and so I'm driving home that night, and I'm just thinking, I got to work for this person. I mean, they have a lot of work. And then as I'm driving down up 95 in Virginia, I see this big pink bus pass me with Dolly on the side. It was Dolly Parton's tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. Dolly, someday I'm going to be where she is, but I bet she wouldn't do work for people like this. And then my inner voice just kicked in and said, you don't have to either. What are you doing? And, you know, you have that little seesaw in your head. Should I do it? No, I need the work. But you're not working. You're not getting paid. And so I decided I had to go with my inner voice and not do any more work for this person. And I figured, take it in small steps. I'd wait a year and not call for work and see what happened, if I could get more work other places. And amazing, Ted, when you make those decisions, I started working for other people, and a year went by, and I did not need the work from this person. I actually made more money and expanded out into other states, and just my career, you know, started really rolling, just because I realized I can't keep doing this. It's not helping me.
I think people have revelations like that all the time, but in many cases they don't follow them simply for the reason that you're talking about. You think, I have to take this job because I have to take money. You know, and I guess the one point I want to bring up in a lot of people's situations, you know, they do have to, sometimes they have to make that Hobson's choice simply because maybe they do have a family to raise or whatever. But altogether, when it comes to wanting to be able to pinpoint what you do and how you do it and being happy with what you do, because altogether with what you're doing, Jan, you're out there, you're doing something very difficult. I think the last time, one of the first times that we got together, we talked a little bit about stand-up comedy and how it's like standing in front of people naked simply because, you know, because you're actually bearing your emotions and saying, you know, this is something that I think is funny. I would like for you to laugh at it too. You know, and because there are situations. In fact, I had somebody in the studio with me. I think it was last week, if I'm not mistaken. And I told a joke on the air, and I shut off the mic. I turned to her and I said, "That was funny, right?" And she kind of shrugged her shoulders. I was like, "Okay, swing and a miss." So,
So, I thought you were going to say you had somebody in the studio who was naked last week. What?
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm not Howard Stern. I can verify that. But but
it is though. Yeah. Just throwing it out there and seeing, hey, do you guys get it? You get how I think. You know.
Right. You see, and that really is, you know, bearing your emotion, and really, you know, standing up there and in, you know, the it's absolute acceptance, because the thing is, with what you do, you know, it's hard enough to be a stand-up comic, but it's also a situation too where A, you want to be compensated fairly for it, and B, you also want to be able to to broaden it where it makes sense with what you're doing. And now it's a case where with you, it's making a lot of sense with what you're doing, because you are able to do stand-up, you're able to do keynote speaking with particular business groups, you're able to put all your basically the situations you've run into when it comes to being a comic into a book, Finding the Funny Fast, and really relating how other people can take what humor they have and turn it into a positive for them as well.
Right. Well, my book I wrote listening to my inner voice and a lot of other voices, because people kept saying, how do you write the joke so fast? And after a while, I thought, you know, I'm tired of telling them. I'm just going to put it into this cheap book and sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, one thing that you mentioned about the comedy, it was easy to make those inner voice choices when you listen, when you figure out what your goals are, too. And my goals, I realized I got into comedy not just for the money or the time off or the time to watch, you know, Oprah in the middle of the day. But I wanted to do something that was fun. I wanted to work with people that I liked. I mean, I left a job with working for people that some of them I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when it clarified, well, you're working for someone you don't like. You're back doing it again, Jan, and you're doing it for less money. And that helped me clarify, okay, I got to stop calling this person. I've listened to my inner voice a lot for my career. I figured out it helped me when I had to figure out when to leave my last job. People keep saying, how did you make that big jump from leaving the day job into, you know, comedy? And I listened to and saw some of the signs and realized when the time was right to do it. But I think you're right. We don't pay so much attention to that.
Yeah, because you're an independent contractor is what you are.
That's a good way to put it.
And say, for example, exactly, because with an independent contractor, you end up, you know, getting a lot of people running into you, say, for example, you know, if you're a home builder, and say, can you build a house for me? And you see something about the, you know, the people that are, you know, they're putting their designs and their ideas and this, that, and the other thing in front of you, and it's a case where I don't think that's going to work for my personal, you know, because the thing is, you have an opportunity, you can accept the money and build the house, even though it might not make you happy, or you can work with people that you know are going to, you know, they're not going to drive you too nuts. And I think that's, in many cases, when it comes to business, you try to work with people that aren't going to drive you too nuts. Sometimes you have to work with people that are going to drive you up a tree. But, you know, but altogether, you want to be as comfort, you know, there's always, you know, especially when you're doing comedy, the comfort zone, especially when you're starting on, had to be, You probably had little of one when it came to when you were first starting out, when it came to a comfort zone. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I had little control over it. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly I was doing comedy clubs, which are fun, but the audience also comes, all of them come with a different idea of what comedy is.
Right.
Unless you're Jerry Seinfeld or somebody who people came because they know your humor, you get up in front of a crowd at a comedy club or anywhere, really, and people, they have a different idea of what they think is funny, and you're trying to fulfill all of that. So it's a little nerve-wracking, but it's fun. I mean, you said, I think you mentioned it was scary or something like that. Not so much scary as because I enjoy getting up in front of people. But, I am an independent contractor and have to, you know, treat it as a business.
Yeah.
And this is the people I want to work with. This is the people I don't want to work with. Sometimes, yeah, you do take those gigs because, you know, the month is a little light, and you're like, okay, I'll do this, but, you know, you realize that maybe you shouldn't, and I've taken some that I shouldn't have taken, and, you know, and I've taken some that I thought I shouldn't have taken. I thought, okay, this is not really my ballywick. This might hit, or, you know, and it works great. It works great, so you never know.
Right.
You know?
It's also a situation, too, where seeing that you're the work lady and you're doing a number of presentations for business groups, that's a great chunk of income. But it's also a situation, too, there are a lot of stand-up comics who stand up behind actually in front of a brick wall with a microphone, in front of a crowd that is very well lubricated. And sometimes that can get kind of ugly at times. And I'm sure you've had to go through your situations like that, going through a well-lubed crowd like that and having to deal with it.
I've definitely gotten in front of a lot of interesting situations. Maybe that'll be my next book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say all the things I've been up in front of. But, you know, then the corporate crowd is good. But you'd be amazed, too, sometimes. I mean, I've been hired where they said, one group said, don't do any work jokes. Really? You know what I go by? The work lady. One group, finally, I kept asking, what do you mean you no work jokes? Come on. And finally, it turned out that they had just had a big layoff, and they were afraid of, you know, and I said, well, my work jokes are going to go great because people are going to be in that mode to laugh at work. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of, no, just do the kids stuff.
Yeah, so all together, you know, if that presents itself, you have to have a plan B then. Do you have a plan B when it comes to that?
I do. I try to let people know ahead of time what I do before they hire me.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're very clear, this is the type of humor I do, here's a clip of my act. If that doesn't, you don't think that'll resonate with your crowd, don't do it.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, there are times when, I don't know who made the decision, but somebody who wasn't really looking at my tape, and then they, you know, you get out there and go, okay, this might not be my crowd, but you'd be surprised how many times they turn into your crowd. If you again, listen to your inner voice, kind of get a feel for the room, find out about the group, find some ways to connect with them, which I've had to do, you know, find, okay, this isn't my group, but what are some common things I can have fun with that'll kind of get them on my side to begin with, and then they'll like whatever I'm serving.
That's right. You know, getting back to the inner voice again, and that's very important following that, and that's the words of Jan McInnes, the work lady. And if people want to find out more about your book, want to find out more about what you do and all of that, where do they go, ma'am?
www.theworklady.com.
Jan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you later, ma'am.
Thanks, Ted. Take care.
You also. It's 3:47 right now at WRJN. Jan and the headlines coming up.